Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Linden, North Carolina, and served in the Army for 26 years as a member of the Army's Golden Knights. He created his own parachute team entitled the All-Veteran Parachute Team, founded on patriotism, creativity initiative, professionalism, and dedication to excellence. He's parachuted over 9,400 times, twice while strapped to a former president. His name, Mike Elliott, and I'm Jack Prisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Prisula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Mike Elliott, the president of the All-Veteran Parachute Team. Mike, welcome. A real honor to have you.
It's a pleasure to be here, Jack.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Well, Jack, I grew up in Linden, North Carolina, which is a very, very small town. Right now, probably the population is less than 1,000. I was raised by a single parent. My mother pretty much primarily raised me, and I didn't meet my actual father until about 6 years ago. So, you know, at a young age, we didn't have a whole lot, so I learned about perseverance at a young age and hard work and gratitude and what it took for me to be a success, and the same traits that I still use today.
What were you like as a kid, Mike?
I think I was a great kid. You know, one of the most important things that, and I'm so proud to be able to say, is that, you know, at the age of 45, and, you know, I could talk to my mother right now, and she'll say that her son, not one time did I ever disrespect my mother. And, you know, coming up as a being raised by a mother, by a single parent, you know, it's really tough, especially with nowadays, because you don't have those two parents there for discipline. But, you know, I'm so proud of my mother, who is also my best friend, of her guidance and her discipline and teaching me at a young age that, you know, everything won't be handed to you on a silver platter. In order to be successful, you got to go out and you got to earn it.
When you were a kid, were you jumping off roofs? Were you jumping off cliffs?
Well, you know, I've always been an adrenaline junkie. I mean, you know, at the age of 11, I was, you know, learned how to drive a tractor, and, you know, that's the way I got some income at a young age. But I've always loved speed, you know, from getting a dirt bike and having go-karts. So, yeah, I guess I've always was chasing speed and probably jumping off anything that I could.
How was it you chose the Army?
Well, being in Linden, North Carolina, we're about 20 miles north of Fort Bragg. At the age of 16, I worked in a local grocery store, and mostly soldiers came in and out of that grocery store. And I knew then, seeing these guys come in their uniforms, and then they had the berets on. You see them, you know, with parades, you know, formed tightly on their head, and it just showed that sign of discipline, and that's what I wanted. I knew at the age of 16 I wanted to be a soldier. I joined the Junior Reserve Officer Training Corps in my high school, Western Hunter High School, and that started my career as a soldier.
You spent 26 years serving our country, and you served two tours of duty, a Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan. Can you talk about those two tours of duties?
Well, you know, there's not a whole lot that I can say about the missions. The fact that I had the opportunity to go over and serve and to protect our freedom is amazing. And, you know, while you're over there doing those missions, you really don't think about what's at hand. You really don't think about you over there, frontline, a representative of the freedom of the American people. And, you know, a lot of times I tell people that, You know, our soldiers are out there every day protecting our freedom. It's not tangible because we can't see it. We can't wrap our arms around it. But even as we here doing this radio interview, there's a soldier somewhere looking down the barrel of a weapon or pulling guard on something, protecting our freedom. And to be a part of that, it just makes me proud.
Mike, how was it you became a Golden Knight?
It was very challenging for me. I was in the 82nd Airborne Division, and I got selected by the Department of the Army to go down and be an airborne instructor down at Fort Benning, Georgia, which is the only Department of Defense school. Everyone that goes to airborne school has to go to that school, and it's a hand-selected school. And when I initially got there, they had a local team of skydivers, demonstrators, called the Silver Wings. And, man, I saw these guys jump into what they call the Airborne 5000, and I was like, I would love to do that. It was just, you know, it was effortless. These guys came into these parachutes, they landed in front of us, and I was just blown away. So I wanted to figure out a way to become a member of that team. My first year there as an airborne instructor, I was instructor of the year for Fort Benning, Georgia, which opened up a lot of doors for me, hence me becoming a member of the Silver Wings Command Exhibition Parachute Team. At the time, I was very I enjoyed working out, lifting weights, very barrel-chested. You know, everything was me was muscle, strength, muscle. And you can't use muscles in the air. It just doesn't work. So it was a time I didn't know if I could even I was going to be able to learn the concept of skydiving because I couldn't grasp it because I would try to muscle my way through it. So I get out the helicopter and I would flip 3,000 or 4,000 feet, and the instructors would get like, man, I think you may need to pick up a bowling ball or some golf clubs because jumping out of airplane skydiving is not going to work for you. But you know, once again, I knew that this is what I wanted, so I dedicated myself to becoming a demonstrator, and I'm still jumping out of airplanes to the day.
Tell us, Mike Elliott, about the Golden Knights.
Wow, the Golden Knights, the premier exhibition parachute team. And, you know, as Golden Knights, you are ambassadors for the military. The team has been around since 1959, less than 1,500 members to go through the assessment and selection program to become Golden Knights. The attrition rate for the assessment selection program is pretty high. When I came to the program, I think we started with about 25 individuals trying out, and 7 made it that year. It is the toughest, most arduous thing that you can relate to. Because they wanted to, they turn the tempo up so high because they want to see you under stress because you are representing the United States Army as a Golden Knight. You are an ambassador, so it's the best of the best. And I tell you, one of the most proudest moments of my life was when I graduated from that program and was knighted in. When that sword touched your left and your right shoulder and you stand up as a new man, you stand up proud because you have accomplished something amazing.
We're talking to Mike Elliott, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Mike Elliott. Mike, talk to us, if you will, about a career today in the military for a young person.
Well, you know, I think the military, I don't think, I know the military has so much to offer for our youngsters. To me, if you know, everyone does not have the opportunity to get a grant to go to college, or your parents may not have the money to send you to college. But through the military, you can get an education, a college education. You have, you know, numerous jobs that you can choose from, whatever fits your arena. You know, if you want to shoot weapons or you want to drive trucks or you want to fly drones, it's so many opportunities. And one great thing about the military, you're your own gauge. You're your own guidance. You can go as far and as fast as you want to go, and it's cool to know how much you want to be dedicated and how much you want to better yourself in the military.
You serve our country for 26 years in the Army, then you retire. What did you do?
Well, you know, retiring from the U.S. Army Golden Knights. Well, a very sad day. Because, you know, you're amongst this group of guys, and it becomes a family. And the military is a family. So, you know, after 26 years, you wake up every morning, you know, you got this routine, and you go in, you do physical training, you know, you eat breakfast with this group of guys. I mean, it's an everyday thing for 26 years. And all of a sudden now, you're going to close this chapter. I didn't want to close the chapter. I'm like, you know, I've done this for 26 years. I'm at the top of my game. I'm a little older at the top of my game, but I'm still at the top of my game. So how do I continue to do? How do I continue to serve? How do I continue to give back? Well, the military taught me a lot. It taught me one thing, which is duty and being loyal and gratitude. So I said, I'm going to continue to do this. I'm going to continue to serve. I'm going to continue to give back. So I started my own parachute team. Now I represent not only the military, but our veterans.
Tell us about the All-Veteran Parachute Team.
The All-Veteran Parachute Team is a team of combat veterans continuing to serve and continuing to give back. And, you know, the greatest thing about this team is we volunteer to do this. I look at guys that has a background as demonstrators, and not all of us jump, but the core of us are demonstrators, former Golden Knights. Guys that are shaped, that are disciplined, that know what they're doing, and they want to go out and represent what our soldiers are doing every day, which is protect our freedom.
If you want to learn more, www.allveteranparachuteteam.com. Mike, tell us about a few of the team members.
Well, most of my guys, for instance, I have six guys that I call my A-team guys. Tony Muzan, former Golden Knight, retired Master Sergeant, over 10,000 skydives, world champion. Master Sergeant Charles Cooley, who is in the process of retiring. You know, former Golden Knight, three tours, three combat tours. He loves America, and he loves representing veterans. Couple females, Holiday Hendricks. Six combat tours. She served in a unit. I can't say their name right now, but they have an airline company with the same name, and it's not American Airlines. But six combat tours. She speaks like four different languages. She's completing her career at Ohio State, where she's gonna get her doctorate in nuclear physics. We had a trauma surgeon, Dr. Tara Dixon, who graduated from Hopkins University. She had a full-paid grant by Coca-Cola. She served 2 years in Afghanistan, and upon returning from 2 years of deployment as a trauma surgeon, she just couldn't fit back in. And that's happening to a lot of our soldiers. You know, they go to these combat environments, and you come back, and it's the everyday cycle back home, and you just can't quite fit in. So she had some pretty rough times, and now she is recovered, and she goes out and gives seminars on PTSD and TBI and how to cope with it. But she joined our team, and she's got a whole new family and a whole new focus on life. So every one of the guys, as I stated earlier, are combat veterans. They represent our veterans. They're proud Americans. And they just love to do what we do.
If you would, Mike, take us through a jump.
Well, I will start off with just a parachute demonstration jump. This past weekend, I was in Chicago Air and Water Show. 1.7 million people attended that show. And our last jump of the day was dedicated to our veterans. And we tried to put as much as we could into that show. We exited the aircraft at 6,000 feet, nine personnel. We had segments of the jump. We had guys get out and do what we call a track, where they got smoke on their feet, and they track towards the crowd. So you got this bomb versus smoke. We had guys fly parachutes together, which is called canopy relative work. And the last guys got out, I had a 1,400-foot American flag. The guy in front of me had the all services flags. We had a guy with just, we call it the smoke chain with different smokes, so it looks like a big lightsaber in the sky. You get out, you know, you got this performance anxiety going on. We land, and as soon as you land, the Jemison sandwich. You got to get out the airplane. You got to open up your parachute. You got to fly the maneuvers with the parachute open. Then you got to land on this target, which is very small. It's probably 12 feet in circumference, and we want to land dead center on that target. And we did a great job of it that day. Then once that's done, we do our presentation, our lineup, which is to the crowd. It's for the crowd, and we have this V formation. We walk up. And we formed this V, and this V is for our veterans. And when I walked up into this V formation, I looked up, and everyone that I could see was standing up and clapping. That moment right there is what I worked so hard for and what I worked to represent, which is our veterans. So that is kind of a small synopsis of a demonstration jump, especially that demonstration jump and what it's all about.
We're talking to Mike Elliott, the president of All Veteran Parachute Team. Mike, how many seconds after you jump out of the plane do you pull the cord? How fast are you going before you pull the cord? And then how fast after the cord?
Well, the individual jump, and I'm not talking a tandem jump. You step out of that airplane, and immediately you're going about 120-plus miles an hour. If you exit aircraft about 12,000 feet, about 35 seconds later, you're at 5,000 feet when you get ready to go to your pull sequence. Once you pull the parachute, you go from 120 miles an hour down to zero as far as gravity is concerned. So now you got an open parachute above your head, which could be anywhere from 260 to 300 square feet. It has a 3-to-1 ratio, meaning for every 3 foot of forward movement, it descends about 1 foot. With a forward speed of about 20 to 25 miles an hour. So you go from 120 miles an hour towards Earth, and now you become a kite under a Ramair parachute, and you're flying around very effortlessly, if you will, very quiet, very peaceful, but a very slow fall rate.
Next Sunday, September 22nd, Mike and his team will be here in Detroit performing at the Art Van Furniture $1 Million Charity Challenge for Veterans Tribute Celebration. That's Sunday, September 22nd, 1 to 3 p.m. at the Art Van Furniture Store in Warren on 14 Mile Road. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Mike Elliott, who's parachuted 9,400 times, and twice he's parachuted while strapped to a former president, which we'll talk to him about in a few minutes. Mike, you have something called therapy in the air. Please share that with us.
Well, through a learning free-falling as a parachute demonstrator, I realized that it has a sense of freedom that offers mental, physical, and emotional rehabilitative type experiences. Jumping with numerous celebrities and on tandems and seeing their reaction, and then having the opportunity to jump with some of our returning soldiers and seeing their reaction, I knew this was something that was very powerful. So we came up with this Therapy in the Air, which is an adventure program to honor, empower, and motivate combat injured troops. So you got to think about a guy that goes to combat and he comes back and he's missing, you know, his legs or his arms or his eyesight. And this guy is adrenaline-driven soldier. He's fired up, he's motivated, he goes over and does his mission, and unfortunately things do not go as planned, and he's back. But this individual, this soldier, still has this drive. He still wants to do things that are adrenaline-driven. And that's what Therapy in the Air does. It takes these guys, and we take them up to 12,500 feet, and we hurl them outside of an airplane, and just seeing their reaction, you know, feeling their bodies, their, you know, you see their hands moving through the air, it takes them back to a special place and gives them that sense of freedom, and it's definitely rehabilitative.
Mike Elliott, what have these wounded veterans taught you?
The main thing I would say that they have taught me is duty, how the importance of duty and fulfillment of life, gratitude, because I've seen some of the worst cases, blind, quads, and I've not heard one of these guys complain. And every day, you know, we hear of American people complaining, oh, it's too hot or it's too cold. Not one time, and I've been around a lot of these returning warriors, these heroes, no complaints. So I would say the three most important things is perseverance, duty, gratitude, and courage is what they've taught me.
Special story you have about a 22-year-old Marine, Todd Love. Please share that with us.
Wow, Todd is just an inspiration to all. A couple years ago, in January, I got a phone call from a Jeremy Souls from Team Extreme, and they were honoring Todd Love. And these guys, they run around and they run in these gas masks, protective masks, if you will. And they're doing 13 to 20 mile runs. They're doing these Spartan races with these masks on, which it's hard to do these races. And if you add the fact they put a pro mask on, which cuts your breathing down probably 30-40%, it's completely arduous. But they're running these masks to honor the wounded warrior. And they were honoring Todd Love. Well, they wanted to jump Todd Love in to their event they were going to run. And they took him over to Skydive Hawaii, which is an awesome place. But when the instructors looked at Todd, they pulled Jeremy Souls off to the side and said, sir, there's no way possible that we can take him on a tandem skydive. You know, Todd is pretty much a double amputee, but he was so high up on his pelvis, there's no way to strap him into a harness. He's also missing his left arm. So, you know, here's a guy that's all motivated to do this tandem jump into this run out in Hawaii, and now you got to go up and tell him that it's not possible. You know, now he's been through so much. Now you got to face this kid and say, I'm sorry, but we can't do this. You don't have enough body to put a harness on you. Well, they called me up and told me the situation. Well, we got this kid out here. We want to honor him. We want to jump him to this event. He's done so much, you know. But the instructors are telling me that we cannot do it. Can you do it? And at the time, I was like, well sure, absolutely. You know, I was at the drop zone. I was rigging some equipment. Didn't even think about, I didn't really digest what his body parts were or his situation was. So I got home and I Googled young Marine Todd Love, and when I saw his situation, I was like, wow, how are we going to do this, you know? But you know what? There's a will, there's a way. I contacted the former Marine, who's also a parachute technician out at the Rayford Drop Zone here in North Carolina, and I went out. His name is Rob Wardwell, and we looked at Todd. I took one of my parachute harnesses to him. We took it apart. We put it back together, and we made it so Todd could sit in this saddle. The next day, I got on an airplane, and I flew to Hawaii. That morning, I stepped out of my vehicle there at the hotel. It was probably about 2 o'clock in the morning when I got there, so I was tired, you know, jet lag, whatever, and I didn't even sleep, so I was just so kind of wrapped around this mission, making, you know, I wanted to make sure this was going to happen. So I'm sitting downstairs, and the elevator door is open, and Todd rolls out of his wheelchair. He kind of slides beside me, backs up on two wheels, and looked at me and said, so you ready to do this? With a smile on his face, and I said, absolutely, Todd, I'm ready to do this. So we go out to the the local drop zone there, and I put Todd in his harness, and it is fits him like a glove. We actually named it the Love Harness. That day, we went up 12,000 feet, and I stepped out of this airplane, looking over Hawaii, you know, blue waters, and I got Todd on the front of me, who was, you can see and sense his enjoyment. And it's hard to even explain what I felt that day, being able to give him that experience. You know, I could have even said, no, I can't do this, you know. But what he did for our country, for our freedom, by all means, I was going to make sure that I did my all, gave my all to make it possible. We landed that day. His father was there, and people gathered around him and were clapping. And, you know, he was honored, and a special day for him. And to be able to make that dream a reality is just truly amazing. Since that jump in Hawaii, Todd has jumped four other times with me. But his goal, his dream was to jump on his own. I got a call about 2 months ago, and Todd made his first solo jump. 25 jumps, no legs and one arm. So that shows you right there that anything is possible if you have the heart, the gratitude, the motivation to do it. And Todd has all that. And I'm thankful to know him. He's some kind of a hero and a motivation to us all.
Twice, Mike Elliott has jumped with President George Bush 41. When we come back, we'll ask him about those experiences. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Mike Elliott, the president of the All-Veteran Parachute Team. Mike, twice you've jumped out of a plane with President George Bush 41 in front of you. Talk about that experience.
Well, you know, the day that I found out that I was going to be jumping with one of the most powerful men in the world, our 41st president. You know, your mind starts to really work and get a grasp on what you're about to do. I had about 3 weeks to plan mentally and physically for the mission. I was going to be jumping the president down at College Station, Texas, for the reopening of his library. So I just kind of went into this training mode. I PT twice a day. I did as many jumps as I could possibly do because I wanted to be trained. I wanted to be ready for any and every situation that I was going to be facing. About 2 days before we jumped, we were there in Texas. No one was aware that the president was going to jump. No one with us. Mrs. Bush did not know. No one else knew. It was a secret because he didn't want to put it out there, and then the day of the jump, he wasn't feeling up to it. So he kept it a secret. The morning of the jump, we're riding over in his vehicle to the aircraft. He calls his son, who was the president at the time, and he 43 was in a meeting, so he talked to the First Lady and told her to let him know what he was going to do. Mrs. Bush also found out at the last minute, and she so politely let us know that if we was to hurt him, that she would kill us all, jokingly. The day of that jump was, you know, so much is going through your mind when you're strapping in a former president. You know his entire family is watching. You know, you got every news station in the world watching. And you are representing every soldier. You're representing the soldier's equipment. You're representing everything the military stands for. So when you step out of that airplane, you want to make sure that everything is right. And it was so amazing when I did land with him and him you know, in one piece and happy and smiling. And, man, what a sense of relief that I had to know that I landed him properly, safely, and everyone was happy.
I was fortunate in 2004. I asked him to write me his philosophy of life, and he sent it to me. Can you share that with our listeners?
Dear Jack, when I was a kid, my mother taught me about essential fundamental values. She told me, be kind to people. Help the other guy. Be a good loser when defeated, and be generous in victory. Don't brag. Share the credit. These are simple values, but they have guided me all my life. I would add one more prescription for life. Take a dose of pride in your country every day. Then at night, thank God for your many blessings. Sincerely, George Bush.
As you read that, Mike Elliott, what are your thoughts?
You know, those are probably the greatest philosophies that any American or any person could live off of. I mean, those are the fundamentals of life. I think they're great. And if you use those as a guide, he cannot go wrong.
Another fabulous experience you've had is jumping into a college football stadium, a.k.a. the Big House, Notre Dame. What is that like, Mike Elliott?
That is probably, it's pretty close to tipping the former president. You know, we jumped out that day, and we had the opportunity to have yellow and green smoke. And you come into that stadium, and everyone is standing on their feet, and they're yelling, USA. You land on that Notre Dame field, and you see those gold helmets, you have a sense of pride that is immeasurable. It is just words cannot explain what it's like to come over the rim of that stadium and feel the enormous eruption of that crowd. Words just cannot describe it, Jack. It's truly amazing.
You also help Steve Harvey in his camp for kids in Texas. Talk to us about that.
You know, it's funny. We the first time I had the opportunity to meet Mr. Steve Harvey, he's down at his camp in Little Elm, Texas. He comes up on his four-wheeler, and he's got on this hunting outfit, and he's got this big Jack the Ripper knife on his side, and he's got his boots. And he's just such he's a country boy. He loves to fish. He loves to hunt, and he loves to give back. He takes, you know, the worst cases. These kids are with single parents and coming from a very bad area, and he brings them in to his camp, to his ranch. And for 1 week, he gives them opportunities that they may not be able to get back in their hometown. He teaches guys how to tie a necktie, which for me, I didn't learn how to tie a necktie until I was in the military. He gives them haircuts. They play golf. They play tennis. And it's all these activities that are very dynamic in their lives. And for that week, I think it's life-changing. We had the opportunity to land a helicopter in front of these kids and go up and do a parachute demonstration. And some of them have never even seen a helicopter, not let's be close enough to touch it. And, you know, stuff like that is important. I don't care how big you are or how rich you get. You know, if you can't step down and give back and help, then something is wrong.
If you want to learn more, www.allveteranparachuteteam.com. If you want to watch a demonstration, next Sunday, the 22nd of September, from 1 to 3 p.m., at the Art Van Furniture Store in Warren on 14 Mile, for a Veterans Tribute Celebration. Mike, anybody that listens to you says, wow, this man loves life. How do I get that, Mike?
You know, I'm going to say, I use pledge. You know, you have to make a pledge to yourself daily. And that has become a word that I use, and I'm going to break it down into the acronym terms. Pledge. Perseverance. Nothing is easy. It requires hard work. I don't care what you're doing. You have to work hard at it. You have to dedicate yourself to it. Loyalty. Be honest to yourself. Be honest to others. Education. It's the key to life. Without education, whether it's a high school diploma or a college degree, you're not going to succeed anywhere. You got to have education. Key to life. Duty. Daily fulfillment. You got to wake up. You got to prepare yourself. That's your duty. Gratitude. Be thankful. Every day, be thankful. If someone does something nice, say thanks. If someone opens the door, say thanks. And enjoy. Enjoyment of life every single day. That's my pledge to myself, and that's what I live off of. Those are my philosophies of life.
But conversely, a lot of people today live their life in fear. Fear, F-E-A-R, false expectations appearing real. If someone is just afraid to do something, Mike Elliott, what do you say to them?
You know, it's about courage. And there are going to be things that you face that you are not going to be aware of. It's, a lot of times the unknown is what we do fear. And I tell people all the time when we got to go up to 12,000 feet, and sometimes I have about 10 to 15 minutes to make that person feel comfortable. How do you control fear? You look it in the face, and you defeat it. And you, this starts with a mental reservation that nothing is going to stop you. Do not let fear be an obstacle. Defeat it. You do this mentally. Control fear is how we should always live. Being controlled or being out of control.
Last question, Mike Elliott. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Live your dream, and your dream can be a reality. And my key thing is, if you can dream it, you can do it.
Mike Elliott, you live love and you love life. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohn.